It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
After the number of climate change movements made last week, my talk with James focused on this. We discussed the successes of the Global School Strike for Climate, where 7 million people across the world protested for governments to commit to fixing climate change. We also discussed whether the criticism climate activism has received whether it has any weight. James also discussed the recently announced Five Nation Agreement on Climate Change, Trade and Sustainability, and that New Zealand will be leading, and what practical effect this will have on addressing climate change. I began by asking James what his thoughts on the climate strikes were and how he felt to see so many New Zealanders striking for climate action.
Well, I got to say, we were absolutely astounded at the numbers. So I was down in the Wellington strikes started at Civic Square, and the numbers didn't fit into the square, so we had people kind of out on surrounding streets and so on. And it was so big that by the time we got to Parliament and the event started, you could actually still hear the back of the back of the march chanting as it arrived at Parliament. It didn't fit onto Parliament grounds. It spilled out over the road onto Molesworth Street and so on. It was really extraordinary, and frankly, we just didn't anticipate it was going to be that big.
Why do you think so many people showed up for this one?
Well, I think awareness has been steadily building during the course of the year. Obviously, the United Nations Secretary General's summit on climate change last week was the kind of focal point, for the kind of the global movement, and frankly, a lot of the publicity around Greta Thunberg and her, remarkable speech at the United Nations, I think, helped to kind of galvanise it. But here in New Zealand, since the first climate strike on March the 15th, the organisers have been steadily reaching out to, businesses and unions, non-government organisations, sort of parallel organisations like Million Mothers, which is the mothers of the kids who are out striking, have sprung up. And so obviously that all kind of galvanised came together on a single day. It was quite an extraordinary effort, really. We were asking around Parliament. Some of the people have been here for a while saying, have you seen anything like this before? They think it would have been as large, perhaps larger than the foreshore and seabed hikoi of 10 years ago. But other than that, people hadn't seen anything like this since the anti-nuclear marches in the 1980s, and I think that really says something.
Obviously, a lot of adults were involved in the strike this time round, but I know that you've said before that you support young people striking for climate action. But what are your thoughts about criticism young people like Greta Thunberg are receiving for their climate action efforts by adults?
I think that criticism is coming from the quarters that you would expect, which is vested interests in the status quo and, the kind of group in society who are the most likely to be at best sceptical about climate change, which we know from research and from just looking at the opinion pages that you're sort of talking kind of older white men are fairly that sort of overrepresented in that. I think it's just, frankly, people grasping at straws trying to find ways to invalidate the movement.
Do you think that these reactions reflect a wider resistance to climate action that potentially may pose a threat to whether we do actually lower our emissions?
Well, there's been resistance to climate action for 30 years. That's why we're in the pickle that we're in, because those guys, the vested interests, have been essentially stopping, delaying and dithering about climate change for three decades. I think what you're seeing is the sort of the last gasps of that as the movement for change really becomes insurmountable.
So let's move on to the new climate trade agreement. What is the agreement of climate change, trade and sustainability?
Well, we were really pleased about this because I've been saying this for some time, that trade and climate agendas have to come together. Historically, they've been pulling in different directions. So last week, the Prime Minister announced in New York that we would be negotiating a new rule set with four other countries, which are Norway, Iceland, Costa Rica and Fiji. And together we were going to come up with a treaty using trade rules to do things. Well, there are sort of three things fundamentally. One is to lower tariffs on environmental goods and services, so things like solar panels and all that kind of jazz. Second of all is to phase out fossil fuels in the countries that are parties to the treaty, and it's really quite a big deal. And the third one is to develop common standards for eco-labelling so that, you know, consumers in those countries have a way of being able to understand what it is they're buying. Now, we don't do a lot of trade, obviously, with Norway or Iceland or Costa Rica.
I was going to say,
but that's not the point. What we're doing is we're saying, okay, we're going to move quickly on this, and those five countries will just be the start point. And so, having developed a rule set, we then want to invite others to join. What we thought was, if we tried to get everybody who was interested in the idea in a room, you know, you could end up with 25 countries all simultaneously trying to negotiate a rule set, and it'll end up taking 2 decades. So actually the fastest way is to develop a really clean rule set early on and then to say to people, okay, who's in? And we're feeling quite confident that there'll be a number of other countries, including ones with which we've got quite strong trade relationships, who come into it.
So why are those parties in particular involved straight away if we haven't already got strong ties to them in trade?
All of those countries are leading members of the High Ambition Coalition, which is a group of countries who have been really pushing for strong climate action at the United Nations. So we've got those relationships with them through the climate sort of network, if you like, of countries who are really pushing hard on this. We are also members of the High Ambition Coalition. There are about, I'm not sure what the latest numbers are, but there's somewhere between, I think, 20 and 25 countries that belong to that group. So I think that, you know, once we've developed that rule set, it wouldn't surprise me if we would get others from that group of 25 countries who want to join.
So as you said, climate and trade is a necessary partnership to ensure that climate change action progresses. How is this agreement going to work practically to ensure that climate change is something that is a focus of all of these countries and reduces emissions and ensures that people are actually working towards climate change action?
Well, it's legally binding. So like a lot of trade deals, it's a treaty between those countries. And there is a dispute settlement system set up between those countries. So if somebody's not doing what they said that they were going to do, then another member of the treaty, another party to the treaty, can essentially take them to the World Trade Organization and say, hey, they're not doing what they said that they would do. And like I said, I think probably the most significant part of it is the commitment to phasing out fossil fuel subsidies in each of those countries. And so you'll get a group of countries which, as other countries come in, and the volumes of trade in environmental goods and services between those countries increases, and so people are, you know, essentially getting wealthier out of fixing climate change, that becomes harder to resist.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.